coming to you live from inside the globe, perched high atop the Bugle Planet building in sunny Gotham City. It's Hey Kids Comics with two guys who are always ready to seduce the innocent. Your host, Andrew Farmer, and the...
You really were. I was regretting letting Cole
and now
do the Igor voice.
Hey Kids Comics, the Igor voice.
Not anymore. Cole, take us in with the Igor voice.
Yes, Master. Welcome. Cool. Welcome all to the first annual... Hey Kids Comics,
my butt's puckered
Halloween
right now.
Episode. It's a beautiful thing after all these years to finally have an episode solely for a Halloween.
Thigh sweat right now. This is great. Like, my butt is puckering. I can't let you do that voice anymore.
No. Whose dreams I will haunt forever.
No. It's like somebody has a wet cod on my back, right? That's the way it feels.
That's where my cod got off, dude.
It feels like I just left Crab Fest at Red Lobster. That's how it feels inside of me right now. It's not a good feeling. I'm content, but it's not a good content. It's a bad content. But yes.
I don't know what was going on there. That was worse than Snaggletooth Hunchback.
Though. Nothing is worse than he has a name, by the way. Somebody else picked up Snaggletooth Hunchback on a podcast, which really upset me. I was very upset.
Are you serious? Stole.
Yeah, somebody did an entire podcast on Snaggletooth Hunchback. It was very upsetting for me. I don't even want to talk about it. I'm sick of Chris Hardwick and that guy stealing our jokes. But anyway. Chris Hardwick, if you're listening, that was a challenge.
The gauntlet has been thrown down.
We have done.
Chris Hardwick is now your Stan Lee.
Yes. Don't
worry, Master. I'll pick up your gauntlet.
You know what's great about that joke, the way you just made it, is that if Chris Hardwick were to listen to this show, he would have to go back and find that issue of Hey Kids Comics to listen to it.
Try to work out which episode.
Start with episode one, Chris.
Yeah.
Work your way.
Start with zero.
Do the work. Do the work, Chris.
Go get your flunkies to do it for you.
So go to Hey Kids Comics back issue 10 and get your ass listening to hundreds of hours.
202.8, which is what this issue is, episodes of Hey Kids Comics. We don't have interns, buddy. We do it all. Blood, sweat, tears, semen, all of it is ours. Did I say semen?
Yeah. Well, semen, that's my contribution.
Oh, by the way, okay.
I appreciate it, too, because I'm barren, and...
God! Oh, my God!
Like the Red Baron. I don't know
like
what
the Great Pumpkin Charlie Brown. This is a Halloween episode.
Oh, it is.
Well played, sir.
So you might have noticed that this show isn't in the normal lexicon of Hey Kids Comics issues. There is a reason for that. We have done a disservice for 5 odd years now. We've been trying to shoehorn in Halloween issues of Hey Kids Comics, and we decided to actually do the right thing this year, step up and do a special.
It needs to have its own. I mean, if Charlie Brown can devote an entire special full of muted trumpet parents and...
That's my favorite band. That's my favorite band.
And latchkey children.
Listen, Thelonious Monk's muted trumpet parents.
Yeah.
Best unsung album.
The preponderance of latchkey children left to their own devices.
I haven't seen anything that horrible since Muppet Babies. All right.
Correct me, but I know there was a Charlie Brown cartoon that came later on, maybe in the 90s, where the adults actually talked.
I think you're right. By the time they started doing
it, because when it happened, I was like, what the shit just happened?
Wow.
It made Eddie say shit.
Yeah, and also when they did the one where they went to Europe. Apparently, in Europe, adults have bodies. Yeah, not only do they talk, they actually have full bodies that you can see.
That's what it was. I knew there was something
Isn't that the one with, like, the Veronica Lake character for Charlie Brown? The film, it was, like, film noir, and he had to find her in Paris, and then there was, like, a river that he had to get on, and there was am I way off base here? Like, I'm being serious.
I think you're confusing that with the...
Chinatown.
With Gotcha.
With Leonard Part 6. See, Cole, you're talking about Bon Voyage, Charlie Brown. Andy, what you're talking about is A Blockhead to Kill For, Charlie Brown.
A Blockhead to Kill For! It was the one where Charlie Brown had the Rorschach mask on. He was like, blood's in the gutter. Dog Snoopy.
That was the darkest.
That was the worst. Yeah, that was.
The second darkest was the Christmas.
One day, okay, I will hold. Day.
That was the other one. That was Woodstock Men.
You're ruining my perfectly good Rorschach joke about Lucy holding the football. But that's fine. That's fine. Oh, we can move on. I was riffing over here, but it's fine. But anyway, decided that of current events warranted a special Halloween issue of Hey Kids Comics. I will let Cole go further. By the way, Eddie's here.
An annual thing now. I've actually plotted the 2017 and 2018 Halloween specials.
By the way, Eddie's here, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, yes. Hello.
And Eddie has been on this show more than we have been on this show recently, and we could not be happier for it.
I'm loving it. I'm loving it. I was telling Kyle, I was like, this is like a podcasting dream come true. I'm not going to jinx it by saying anything, but I'm loving the fact that they keep having me on like every other week.
Well, it's like
the end of that ride.
Right. I know. I jinxed it.
Well, it's like, it's, you know, you're like, who like Steve Martin or Alec Baldwin on Saturday Night Live. We have our go-tos and our and it has nothing to do with how available you are, Eddie.
You're,
I
like
promise.
Like Jimmy Randall on Late Night with David Letterman back in the 90s.
For special issues and things like that, our immediate thought is Eddie. And also, like we were saying, you know, we need an expert. We need an old priest and a young priest for this issue. So
that's right.
We're going to bring Eddie in. But yeah, so speaking of, Cole, what are we doing this special on?
This is a very special. I don't know if this is appropriate or not, but it took someone dying for us to finally have a Halloween special. And thank God it was not one of our listeners, because we cannot afford to lose one of you.
No, we can't. We're working on the technology to keep you alive forever.
That's right.
Considering I'm your only listener, let's not let that happen.
Exactly. Then we wouldn't have any guests either. But
I mean, we got to keep you around at least through 2018, because Cole's got that plotted. There's no getting out of it.
Exactly. So you've got that long. Just as long as I keep plotting, it's like the Winchester House of podcasts.
Oh, is that it?
Nice. Good reference. Good reference.
Wow.
Well, we do have the co-host of Figments
with
here.
Us, yes. So, yeah.
So I need to be sure and the bill. But yes, we just a very few days ago, the mortal world said farewell to perhaps its greatest This Life champion, self-styled greatest. None other than Jack Chick of Chick Publications. Well, and it's funny, we never really thought about it.
Should we give his proper birth name?
Yes, please.
Okay, I had to do some research on this, because as you know, like his picture, you can't, there's like next to no pictures of the man. His name is Jackthony Tiberius Chickton.
You are lying.
Of course I am.
You are lying, sir.
I just wanted to say Jackthony.
Jackthony.
But no, my words, one of the top baby names of 2018 is going to be Jackthony.
But
yeah, it is.
Before we go any further into what I'm sure is going to be a hilarious romp through madness, through Jack Chick madness.
We're prepared to pay tribute to the man.
Well, we are in our own special way. It needs to be noted that these Chick tracks, as they've been named, have the widest distribution of any comic book. Yeah. Period. He is the most published comic book creator ever. I need you to hear that as
absolutely, and probably I think you could argue that he is the most successful self-published.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, they're without a doubt.
So while we are coming to this I guess we're an exploration, a satire, whatever we do here, it needs to be mentioned up front that Jackthony Chick was a successful comic book publisher. So he is well within his rights to be on this show. I'm defending it. That's all I'm saying. Before the letters start coming.
I mean,
I think they are. I mean, this is no joke. I know I've been nothing but joking so far, but they say that he has sold over 750 million tracks and comics. I think they're underestimating. They have to be.
That has to be like old data or something. Because he is literally the Slim Whitman of comic book publishing.
That's the first thing I thought you were going to say, Slim Goodbody of comics.
Well, and you know what's funny? Slim Goodbody is creepier than the Slender Man.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to talk about,
horrifying Halloween treats. Yeah, I'm going
to... I got to see Slim Goodbody in person on a elementary field trip one time. And
I was in the Black Forest. Slim Goodbody was doing a bunch of lines of coke with some dwarves.
The scary, I mean, if it wasn't surreal and scary as it was, being crammed in this little room with Slim Goodbody and all these other kids, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth graders, the scariest part was not Slim Goodbody prancing around in his body tight, was the fact that one of the other kids in the class afterwards said, "Is it weird that I got an erection during that?"
For the audience, for the audience listening at home, I want to flash back about 5 to 10 minutes ago when Eddie said, "This is a podcasting dream come true. I don't want to jinx it, but they keep having me on the show. Now we know why we have Eddie on the show on the regular." Because he has stories like adolescent children getting erections in a small room with Slim Goodbody. He will always be on this show. Eddie, the show's yours now. Just do whatever you want.
You have won the show with that one.
I need to be, before we really get into this, I need to be upfront about Jack Chick and my weird – I have a weird relationship with Jack Chick because – I didn't grow up particularly religious. My family's very religious. Their family before them were very religious. But I did not grow up particularly religious. But, not to get too Southern Baptist, but, I definitely had the fear of God put in me when I was a kid. So Jack Chick and Chick Tracks were known within our family. But beyond that, I also played, like, Dungeons & Dragons and listened to rock music. And the only thing that besides clowns, which was irrational, that scared me, and I think Eddie will back me up on this at least a little bit, weren't like ghosts, weren't vampires, weren't werewolves, but it was demons, demonology, and the devil. And I never ever equated like role playing games and rock music with the devil or demons because I never made that leap.
Satan himself pretty much avoided anything Gary Gygax created.
Right. Well, I mean, did you ever play Second Ed? He couldn't even figure it out.
Oh yeah. Well, that and D&D was banned in hell. A lot of people don't realize that.
Well, it takes forever.
Yeah.
It literally takes an eternity. There is still a game of second edition Dungeons & Dragons going on right now in hell that started when it came out.
And so. They said after that, it was like, okay, no more.
So
I also need to be upfront since we're being upfront here. I'm going to admit something. Okay. I have never, ever played Dungeons & Dragons ever in my life.
Is it because of the Tom Hanks movie?
It's because of Mazes and Monsters, yes. It's because of Turner and Hooch. No, not that either.
Come on, Jackathy. Let's
no, really, there's no particular reason why. But like you were saying, Andy, I grew up with the assumption that Dungeons & Dragons was evil.
We'll see.
Like, because of what'd you call it before the show started?
Well, so we'll get into this further, but if you follow any, it's not conspiracy, but kind of conspiracy history. There was in the mid to late 80s, there was a thing called the Satanic Panic, and if you lived through it, you know exactly what it was.
To be confused with a Satanic Mechanic,
no,
from Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Well, the Satanic Mechanic also fixed all Ghost Rider's bikes. So,
of course,
yeah.
Who else can you trust?
Not to be confused with the nickname Colleen has for my dick, which is the Hispanic Titanic.
Oh, good.
That's been our show, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Thank you. Has Eddie been drinking again? Is that what's happening?
You know, this is what happens when I don't drink wine on your podcast.
I know.
He gets really thoughtful when he drinks wine. When he does it, he comes up with stuff like the Hispanic Titanic.
Plan ahead just so I can make the drive out there to bring him wine before we do a show.
The Hispanic.
Make sure he's got something at hand.
If Eddie doesn't have a shirt by next AllCon that says the Hispanic Titanic, I'm done. Oh, I retire.
Speaking of shirts, I'm glad you said that. I almost forgot. I am wearing, right now, wearing my Gandalf Level Hawks Hey Kids Comics t-shirt.
Do you hear that, Bobby Blakey? Do you hear that? He's wearing... Damn it. That's a deep track, but yes. But yeah, so the Satanic Panic was a thing that happened in the late 80s. And it basically was this idea that it spun out of a lot of different things. Dungeons and Dragons, rock music.
I remember a friend playing a tape of this pastor or somebody, you know, speaking somewhere about how the Christians successfully prayed dark shadows off the air.
Right. Yes.
Because it was corrupting. It was doing Satan's work.
The Exorcist was another big influence on the Satanic Panic. But it was this idea that, you know, Satan was entering our lexicon, our children, through these media. And you know, it's one of those zeitgeist things where media was changing. Cassette tapes, VHS tapes. You know, another generation was growing up, and it was much more provocative than the generation before. So, of course, there was going to be some sort of backlash, you know. And this is the form it took. But widely recognized, Jack Chick is the grandfather of the Satanic Panic for his Chick tracks.
And if literally you are somehow unfamiliar, we'll try to have some links as well. But just look up Jack Chick, because he's a fascinating figure that you almost, between the 70s and the present day, you almost couldn't not encounter a Jack Chick religious track. To the point that this very episode, when Andy sent me a note, I'd already seen that Jack Chick had died. And said, you know, we need to do a show about this, you know, kind of larger than life character in comics, and a realm or a genre of comics we've never really talked about. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, oh yeah, we are so doing it. I bumped what would be issue 202. This was originally going to be Hey Kids Comics number 202, Religious Chick.
Right.
And then I changed the name. Then Andy, by the time I'd come up with that, Andy came back. He's like, let's do a Halloween special called Chick or Treat. I'm like, oh, well.
That's genius.
Yeah, that I'm like, genius. Oh, that has to happen. And not only does it have to happen, it is very appropriate, because among the hundreds of religious tracts, which I have, because Jack Chick was based out of California, I am now officially calling California Bibles.
Nice.
Because the little religious tracts, the most commonly found Chick publications, are about the size of a Tijuana Bible.
Yeah, they're very small. Yeah. So can somebody define what Jack Chick was doing and what a Chick tract is? Like what was the attempt that he
He started out his career doing a comic strip back in the 50s, and it only lasted a couple of years. And I guess after that wrapped up, somewhere between him doing the comic strip and starting Chick Tracks, he became saved. And like I said, this is coming secondhand from other people who knew him, because anybody who knows the history of Jack Chick knows two things. One, he has given one interview in his professional career, and that was in the 70s, one. And to date, I have only been able to find three pictures of Jack Chick. And out of those three, one of them isn't even confirmed that it's him.
Right.
Oh, my.
There's, like, no pictures of the man. He's literally like the Steve Ditko of comics.
Oh, yes.
Wait, that's not right. He's literally like the Steve Ditko.
Steve Ditko is the Steve Ditko.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, right.
He's but, the Steve Ditko of religious comics.
There you go.
But yeah, everything in my research on Jack Chick, the one word that seemed to be universal was reclusive.
Yes, oh, yeah. Very much so.
Yeah, yeah. So what he was also very shy, and he wanted to spread the gospel, but was very shy, didn't know how to do it. So he got his idea to do Chick tracks from a missionary who told him that over in communist China – They were able to indoctrinate their people to the communist way of thought by using basically little tracks. They're calling little mini comic books, which turned out to be little tracks. So Jack Chick thought, oh, if it works for the communists, it can work for the Christians. So he started
I'm glad you brought that up, because that was one of the things I definitely wanted to mention in this episode, in this special, was because there was a tremendous amount of irony in the kind of, especially given when he started in the midst of Red Scares and the Cold War. And all things, I mean, even into the 90s and 2000s, there was so much anti-communist fervor that still existed that seemed almost outdated by now, that even to adopt something that your filthy commie had done would seem outrageous. Right. But I think it illustrates I would go so far as to say a bit of the hypocrisy of things.
That's a good point, Cole. I didn't even think about that. Okay, Marvel Comics started in 1962, correct?
Correct.
Okay, Marvel Comics. Okay, everybody listen to that. Marvel Comics started in 1962. Jack Chick began, he started with his first track in 1960.
Wow.
Chick tracks have been around longer than Marvel Comics, you know, the current Marvel Comics, not like the Marvel Comics from back in the day.
Right.
So, And so, 1960 is when he did his first track. He didn't do a second track for two more years after that. But it wasn't until 1970 where he actually created the label, I guess, of Chick Publications, which I'm sorry, but back in 1970, if you were to hear, okay, Chick Publications, tell me you're not thinking publisher of adult magazines at that point.
Absolutely.
Which, again, Cole, it's almost like, in a way, like hypocrisy. Like, you're giving the impression that this is something adult that you're publishing.
Yeah, I guess the idea was you would leave the Chick Publication tracks somewhere behind for people to find, and you would leave it face down. They would see the Chick Publications and immediately think it's the Naughty Betty Boop.
There you go. Exactly.
And then they turn it over and it's like, what the hell? And then actually was the title, What the Hell, because it was a track about hell.
Well, but
is it really about hell if I can't say the word hell?
So if we're talking go ahead, I'm sorry, Eddie.
No, is there really a track called What the Hell?
It sounds like there.
I don't know for sure.
If there's not, I'm making that.
But with the
yeah, like what comma?
But
the hell?
If we're talking about him being, you know, synonymous with being reclusive, I think that the other thing that if you've read anything from him, or if you've, you know, if you're familiar with his work, or if you're becoming familiar, the other word that would be synonymous, you know, with his work is extreme. Because you're right. Like, how do you spread the gospel? How do you fulfill your mission? I'm going to do these Chick tracks. Let's make a couple of them. All right. I don't know if they're catching on as well as they should. So, you know, what's the next step if you're, you know, in the mid 70s or even the late 60s, what's the next step if you don't think that they're catching fire the way that they should? Yeah. Go balls to the wall, Christian. And that's what he did.
Well, he literally, and I don't know which one came first, but it's literally like he adopted the mentality of the old 70s Scared Straight documentary.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Reaper Madness. Scared Straight in comic book form.
Right. It's the Reaper Madness, Scared Straight, that idea of just
and it takes religion and makes, I mean, if you look at the body of the work, if you just kind of do a random sampling, if you kind of do it Ozymandias style.
Damn it.
You begin I can work Watchmen into every episode. But literally, if you just kind of like pick and choose and grab these panels, one underlying statement seems to be there are precious few ways you're not already going to hell.
You are going to hell.
The point where there's like a track about this couple who go and do God's work and they die in a plane crash coming home from helping the heathen, and they didn't quite do it just right.
Are you serious?
Oh, yeah, they didn't. They went and did the good works, but they didn't, like, do it in Jesus' name or something like that. And it wasn't like, well, you did good, but not good enough. Off to hell with you.
Yeah, you're going to hell. That's the end.
But there is this gleeful sense of taking great pleasure in the fallen that goes, you know, it's a very early, European. Ironically, it's very much like one of the things that Chick rails against, and that's all things Catholic. Mm-hmm. According to Jack Chick, any ill in the world can be laid at the feet of Catholicism. Mm-hmm. But yet he has this sort of gleeful sense of, just taking great delight in the fact that most people are damned.
Mm-hmm. But that
feels like, Inquisition era Catholicism.
But I think that he was a great marketer as well.
Oh, yeah.
I think that what he did was, regardless, and there's a widespread discussion. Did he really believe everything he put in his Chick tracks? Like, did he believe to the extreme at which he created these? Or was it bombast over the top to get attention, convert, if I put 750 million of these out, if I can convert 0.05% of those people, if I can get them saved, then I've done my job. Well, how do I get this in front of
the excesses are worth it, even if I don't necessarily feel that this is 100%.
It reminds me of those. Maybe you guys will be able. Eddie maybe will be able to help me with this, but it reminds me of those. I think it was in either Nebraska or maybe it was in Oklahoma. The haunted houses that the church puts on.
Oh no, sir. That what you're talking about is Hell House.
Yeah, where is that?
That is literally up the street from my neighborhood in Cedar Hill, Texas. I'm in DeSoto.
I am sorry, sir. I am sorry.
Like, that literally took place 8 minutes from my front door.
But the idea is that, okay, so we want to spread this word and we want to talk about this. How do we do it in a way that catches an eye and gets people talking? Well, let's put on a haunted house, with STDs and abortions and, demon worship, whatever we can, just to get people talking about it, right?
Drive car wrecks and everything, yeah.
Right. Now, do you feel like that might have had a place in this, or do you just believe straight up that he was cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs and believed all of these weird, super weird conspiracy theories about Catholicism and Christianity?
Again, we know so little about the guy. I mean, like, literally so little about the guy that up until Sunday when he died, people were still saying there is no Jack Chick. That's just a pen name for different people putting out these tracks.
Really?
Like, interesting. And when they announced that he died on Sunday, people were like, oh, there really was a Jack Chick.
Because if you look at the body of work, the style changes drastically.
He has other people doing them, but
I tried to do some research on the artists.
You can't.
There is zero information.
And that's what perpetuated this whole idea that there is no man like that is Jack Chick. Jack Chick is just pen name for all these other creators.
Yeah, it's like Mrs. Paul or, I guess actually there was a Betty Crocker, and there actually was a FYRD.
I started, because just a little bit of background information on me, when I was like knee deep into the whole Christian comic creator scene back in the 2000s, like I literally spent like 2003 to 2008 compiling information to put out like a definitive book on the history of Christian comics.
Nice.
And I'll be honest, hold on, it's not so nice, because I got to 2008 and I realized like 90% of the stuff I was collecting information on was crappy. So I was like, what's the point of putting this out when 90% of the stuff is not worth talking about?
You don't want to be the one who told people to seek this stuff out.
You don't want to be the Michael Price of crappy comics. That's not what you want to be.
In my research, I heavily researched into Jack Chick because that was going to be a big section of the book.
Even I,
with all my researching the man, was thinking, I really don't think this guy ever existed. I think what it is a pen name where all these people wanted to make a track. So, okay, for instance, let's put a name out there. Just say, for instance, John Byrne wanted to, hey, I have an idea for a Chick track, but I don't want to put my name to it. So they can take my work and it will fall under this pen name of Jack Chick. I started thinking maybe that's what these people are doing. They're professionals who don't want their name attached to it, but they want to put it out there just to put it out there.
Exactly. No, that's makes perfect sense. I never really thought about it that way, because I always looked at it like, you know, Stan Lee was a figurehead for Marvel, but obviously there were a lot of different artists and writers and what have you. So I always just looked at, you know, Jack Chick was the publisher, and he had a lot of different people in his bullpen, if you will. Yeah,
but you realize that if that was true, that would be like a Bohemian Grove-level conspiracy, right?
Yeah.
Like, how could you keep that quiet? How could you not have the guy that went on and said, I made a Jack Chick track, you know, Jack Chick is just a you know, and then you would have to, like, you know, Black Ops him out, you know, like, rendition him. Like, it would be, you're talking about Scientology at this point. You're not talking about, you know, that's the level you're talking about if that were true. Like, that's crazy talk. That's more crazy talk than, it's more believable that an insane man put out this many cartoons with this much subject matter that's this crazy than it is that a bunch of other random people did it under one pseudonym and launched it. Like, that's how crazy this topic is.
But literally the style changes from year to year. It cannot be the same person.
But he's not an artist.
There's one artist, there's just like this one artist who does these amazingly, like, super realistic, and others are kind of cartoony, and others are, you know, even within the cartoony ones, there's a great shift in style across the board. But before we get any further, I do want to point out, if a lot of you are kind of wondering, well, how is this a Halloween episode?
Oh, yeah.
Part of what ties this together, if you haven't seen the flavor art for this, is that one of Jack Chick's absolute favoritist subjects, apart from, like, Catholicism, anti-papist rants, was Halloween. Mm-hmm. Halloween was the most awful thing ever foisted upon the world and upon Christianity, as far as Jack Chick was concerned, if you take these things at face value. In my research, how many Halloween episodes, how many Halloween tracts did I come across?
Oh, geez, at least six or seven, just in
cursory.
Yeah, they're
just specifically Halloween. One of my personal favorites is one titled simply Boo.
Yes, I have that one.
And I love the fact that Boo takes place. It's sort of a like, if you took the sensibilities of Friday the 13th and combine them with the very, in the context, the very real sense that Satan is walking the earth and physically murdering people. But I love the fact that the whole thing takes place at Camp Basil Bub.
Oh, what? Nice. Nice turn.
I picked that. Okay, I'm rereading that one tonight.
Oh, yeah. The guy rents out the whole Camp Basil Bub for $50 on their grand reopening.
Oh, wow.
And then he's like all nervous because a bunch of people got murdered there, his friend points out. And then the very next, like practically the next panel, they're like, oh, we're going to sacrifice a cat to Satan at midnight.
Just stay, there it is. There it is.
Yeah.
But, I'm shocked that there were murders here, but, you know, we're going to sacrifice to Satan.
But that's the thing, is it is a Halloween episode because of the fact that the subject matter often, and by often I mean almost to a tract every single time, is horrific, ends in death, animal slaughter, or some derivation therein. He really comes with it. He really, you know, it's almost like he invented his own world that these exist in, where these things, where the concepts are borderline real. Like, if this was DC, this would be like Earth 2 to our Earth 1. You know, where, like, my favorite one is my Halloween favorite is Devil's Night, where, where the
ironically, I was just looking at the Devil's Night with the doe-eyed children.
Yeah, the doe-eyed children, and my favorite part is the teacher who gets very, very upset with one of the characters because the character wears a Santa Claus costume to the Halloween pageant and not a witch costume. But, you know, it's she obviously, because she is wearing a witch costume, is a devil worshiper. So she wants the kid to wear the witch costume because she wants to turn her. You know, that's the idea that 99% of everyone out there is out to get you.
Yeah.
You know, by turning you to the devil, which is horrifying.
I remember that story because I remember there was a specific panel that when I read it later as an adult, had me cracking up, and I wish I could remember what the panel said exactly. Oh, here. Okay, I found it. It's probably from it. Okay, and of course, the boy is dressed like he's like a Nazi officer without being a Nazi officer.
Oh, I love that. Is that the one where it's the Church of World Brotherhood?
I think so. And he's holding up the picture of one picture of a dog, one of a cat, and he's saying, my teacher says these are great for a Halloween sacrifice.
Right.
And the other kid is like, she's a witch? And the kid comes back, you idiot, you knew that? And I was like, oh my gosh. It's like the M. Night Shyamalan reveal.
Oh, no. And what I love about the pictures is also to underscore the tragedy. The little cat is holding a ball of yarn.
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know what world he built for this, but it's definitely like its own world with its own physics and its own theology, which I think is kind of amazing and also horrifying in its own right because of the fact that, you know, the only thing that really scared me that was supernatural were demons when I was younger. So like, I'm like, well, I don't know what to do now. Like, I'm obviously going to hell. Like, if I read any of these, I'm already going to hell. So
yeah, according to this, this is just showing you exactly how damned you are.
This is a serious question because you kind of grew up with that fear because of the Chick Tracks and other things.
Yeah.
Were you hesitant or did you avoid reading Son of Satan, the Marvel comic?
Oh, yes. Yes, I
Me
did.
Me too.
Yes, I
Me
did.
Too, because I had to the point where I remember I was at Duncanville Books. And
wow.
There was a kid checking out with a stack of Son of Satan comics, and I thought to myself, he's going to hell.
Like, he's going straight up.
Like,
well, like, it's that...
It's like the devil has won. The kid had the choice of Iron Man or Son of Satan.
Well, he had a giant pentagram on his chest. That, obviously. But, you know, that was during a time period where... And I don't want to use the term indoctrination, but your critical thinking skills were not exactly top level at that point, right?
Okay. You're right, and this is what gets me as a Christian when people take this kind of stance where they feel like, as a Christian, you're so weak in your faith and in your
faith. Thank you.
Yes.
Any little thing could sway you in the opposite direction to eternal damnation. I'm thinking.
I remember as a kid, somebody in church telling me that, you know, when you go trick or treat, smell my feet, give me something good to eat, that Satan runs his pitchfork through you.
Wow!
That bothered me.
Yeah!
To dispense, I bought some Marvel premiere with Son of Satan because it was just bizarre to me that anyone would publish a comic book that was sitting on the rack at 7-Eleven that said Son of Satan.
Exactly.
But you realize that if there were no, I'm going to go out on a limb, if there was no Jack Chick Tracks, there probably would not have been a Son of Satan comic book.
It might have been a counterpoint.
Because, yeah. Well, and the reason I say that is because we all know that salaciousness sells, right? So entered we were kind of on the cusp and on the, you know, on the rise of the satanic panic, that's when we started seeing, especially in, well, I'm going to use comic books because that was my thing, right? But that's when we started seeing, like, the real, keep in mind, this was shortly after the breaking of the comic book code. Right?
Yeah.
So they could start doing all this shit now. They could start putting the Son of Satan in books and Dracula back in books and werewolves and all this stuff. It just dovetailed really nicely into this growing fear. And all of a sudden, all these rebellious, you know, teenagers were going to buy these books. And it worked out perfectly. The Blue Devil, Son of Satan, all of these, you know, Ghost Rider, Blade, Dracula.
Oh, and then what was the one that was like a God-hating Satanist? Was a very popular book.
Was it? Was
it? Oh, yeah. It was huge.
It was huge. It was huge. But
huge.
But yeah, so anyway, let's get back to making fun of Jack Chick, shall we?
Yeah.
Well, just real quick, it's funny that you say you're connecting this topic to Halloween because of the fear factor of all these.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to go in a different direction. I thought you were going to say because people often would give out Jack Chick Tracks.
Yes,
yeah, it's funny you mention that because the track I was looking at not only talks about that, but it actually shows.
It gives you instructions.
It has a cover of another track, And it instructs how, like, I'll actually read this here.
It's the like devil, Inception.
The devil hates the story of Jesus, so Grandpa and I fill bags with candy.
Yeah,
and we put little comics inside that tell about Jesus, because, spelled C-U-Z, we're fighting for their souls.
I like the panel under that, though, the one that's trick or treat. There's comics in here. They'll show you how to get in, how to go to heaven. And the person dressed, the girl dressed as the witch says, "Cool, thanks." Nobody ever says that. There's never been anyone.
Yeah, no, but actually, you could read the dismissiveness.
Actually, I might. I might just say it. Eddie would say it. Eddie'd be like, "I don't know if I have this one. Cool."
Yeah.
Can I just say, I in preparation for this, I pulled out my Jack Chick collection, which is immense, and I counted how many tracks I have.
Did they call it the Hispanic Titanic?
How many unique tracks I have in my collection. My tracks alone, not including the comic books, the tracks alone number 112.
Wow.
And that's because I stopped buying these in 2010.
Good night. But I also want to point out the panel before the one about putting the propaganda in there with the candy. It talks about how Halloween pulls children into witchcraft.
Right.
Apparently.
Yeah.
I don't know anyone that ever got indoctrinated into witchcraft by dressing up on Halloween.
Well, that one time I dressed up like an Ugnaught. I don't know if it was witchcraft, but I fixed a lot of droids that night.
Well, let's just say there was some witchcraft in your eyes that night.
No.
gross. But
I love the fact that all the characters, the trick-or-treaters, are dressed as, you know, none of them are dressed as clown. Okay, except for Andy, most people would not be terrified of a clown. But there's a witch, a devil, either a dinosaur or a demon, either of which were probably considered evil by Chick, and then a ghost. So basically, all of the tenets of evil.
As opposed to, like, Bugs Bunny or...
Yeah, there's nobody dressed as a rabbit or...
Yeah, or, you know, yeah, exactly. Or Holly Hobby or something like that.
Or, you know, Pioneer Woman, or God forbid, the girl dressed as Santa Claus earlier in the same track.
Right, right. So I actually knew
one
people...
One girl is dressed as Hillary Clinton. Way back before Hillary Clinton was probably when she was that age, so...
I actually knew people who gave out Chick tracks for Halloween instead of candy. That's where I thought Andy was going with this.
Well, no, it was a point I definitely wanted to make, was that I remember vividly getting some Chick tracks for Halloween when I would, and it would be, they obviously followed the template, because it would be like, there would be like a fun size Snicker bar and a Chick track in this bowl. And I'm like, why? Okay. And then I'd be like, what the hell's this?
I wouldn't even get a Snickers. I would get, like, the marshmallow peanut that nobody wanted, you know?
The circus peanuts?
Oh, yeah.
Those are the devil. You want to talk about what the devil is?
You want to talk about salacious.
get all hummed up. That stuff's like glue. They build walls in Mosul out of those things. They get inside of you. You're never pooping again. You'll meet the devil real quick.
Wow.
But oh my
god. I'm having fun looking at these different Halloween tracks.
Well, the Halloween ones are great, but, you know, he did so many. I'll get it. I think you all know what my favorite one is, but do you have any favorite Chick tracks?
I have to recommend Here Kitty Kitty in the Halloween vein.
Okay.
Because it's...
Oh, yeah, it's good stuff.
It's like... Literally, it's like the Son of Satan edition of Peanuts.
Right? It's the Ted Kaczynski's Peanuts.
Because they go out of their way to adopt a cartoon style that puts you immediately in the mind of the Peanuts characters with these impressionable children. And so the first panel, it starts out, you know, innocently enough.
It's like,
we got
it's
everything
like
we need.
Garfield, if Garfield was drawn by Albert Fish. Okay, go ahead.
It's like, you know, we got everything we need. Let's see. I've got candles. I brought chalk. Okay, yeah, sure. I've got my book of spells.
What?
Yeah, and it's cute because magic is spelled M-A-G-I-K.
Yeah.
And then I guess we're all set. Oh, but then the tough kid comes along. No, you're not. You forgot the most important part. What? A black cat and a knife! And then the little girl's upset because the black cat happens to be her cat called Fluffy, which in the illustration appears to be a short-haired cat, so she's an idiot and deserves to go to hell. But She apparently loves her cat. As a young Satanist, did not have the foresight to choose a different color cat, because obviously the black cats are doomed for sacrifice, because sure. You need them for the proper spells. And then she gets upset, and the teacher intervenes and finds out that her friends are going to sacrifice a cat. So rather than like calling in the proper authorities, she just witnesses to the little girl.
Right, right.
And it's a wonderful panel that I just had to bring up, because this is where, if you weren't already certain that this was Peanuts, mm-hmm. when she's telling the little girl about, you know, says, first, everybody does wrong things. Even you, Mrs. Johnson, even me. This is where she's thinking back to that tryst she had with those four guys in Cozumel.
Oh,
yeah. Wow. Spring break during her teaching, during student her college teaching. Years, her student yeah. teaching, yeah. Let me tell you, some of the students got really good tutorial there. But there's an angel, and this little kid has arrived, I guess, at the stairway to heaven. It says, God calls all bad things sin, and he won't allow any sin into heaven. And the angels are, you know, just abjectly, no. But the little kid is either apparently died very tragically and arrives in heaven no better for wear. Or it's a parody of Pigpen.
Yeah.
It is Pigpen. Yeah. It's like Pigpen.
Oh, yeah, because a lot of people don't realize that Pigpen was the most sinful of the Peanuts characters.
Well, cleanliness is next to godliness, Cole.
I would have thought.
Oh, good point. And Pigpen also, if you read the full body of Schultz's work, Pigpen in throughout the history of the Peanuts actually broke 7 out of 10 commands. 7 out of 10.
I personally thought, you know, growing up, that the most sinful of the Peanuts gang was Franklin, because, you know, he was black.
Oh.
As a joke.
Well, if you, it's all backward masking. If you read Peanuts backwards, Pigpen tells you not to clean your room a whole bunch, and we know that's just sloth.
I love how the bully, Cole, is obviously like a parody of Charlie Brown, like his sweater.
He's like Bizarro Charlie Brown. He's got
a wavy line.
Yeah.
And instead of being bald, he's got like this big Jufro.
What the hell?
Jeez.
We were going to give you this show, and now I'm not so
Yeah, we're taking the show back. Jufro's rough. We're taking the show back now.
but you do make a good point, because it's like Mirror Universe Charlie Brown. And I also love the one panel where you have Gracchus the Centurion turning to Christ after the crucifixion, and all of his dialogue is,
damn it, Cole.
I'm scrolling ahead to see if that's true or not.
I hope others are doing likewise, who were inspired.
Oh, my gosh.
No, there's actually no coverage of that guy.
Oh, my gosh. You know, it's hard to pick a favorite, because there's so many. I mean, I remember back in the day, the one that got my attention was Big Daddy, which turned out to be...
Keep stealing my thunder!
Really, is that one? Because, of course, being me as a kid, I saw that track, and I really thought, is that supposed to be Bigfoot's? You know, so that always stuck with me, that
wait,
Big Daddy.
Wait, explain Big Daddy to me.
Big Daddy is the missing link.
Okay.
You know, it's where it's,
yeah,
you know...
It has a picture of an ape on the cover and says, Big Daddy?
Yeah. And so, yeah, it's supposed to be about the missing link and all that. It's based on evolution versus creationism. But I saw that image, and immediately my mind registered Bigfoot. And then I got it. You know,
ripoff. There aren't any cryptids in here.
Right. And I read it. I was like, wait, that's not Bigfoot? What's this missing link business?
This is just all about how Darwin and Dr. Leakey are going to hell.
That chick is the one that introduced me to evolution, not ETL.
Oh, my God. The revelations that are coming out of this show.
I never heard of evolution until Jack Chick shoved it down my throat as an 8-year-old.
And then you start, like...
Backfired on Jack Chick.
But there's so many. There's one that I guess was supposed to catch your attention and make you, because it was supposed to invoke Ghostbusters, but it was called Sinbusters.
Really?
And it had the little,
oh,
the little,
wow,
the little Ghostbuster red sign, you know, the no sign. But instead of a ghost sign, it was like the Grim Reaper, and he's surrounded by a skull, a porn magazine, Snake Eyes' Uzi.
I want to point out that the
and a syringe.
The Snake Eyes, the Uzi, created by actually an Israeli general, designed and.
Oh, it wasn't Larry Hama.
It was straight up Larry Hama.
Yeah,
Cole, you're wrong. It was Larry Hama. Okay. I saw it in his cold dead eyes at AllCon. Larry Hama invented the Uzi.
I mean, literally, you can. I'm flipping through my many stacks of tracks, and just the titles alone are just ridiculous. Like, where was it? There's one called The Beast, and it's a whole family with 666 plastered across their forehead. Oh, this one! Oh my gosh, Bad Bob! Exclamation point! And it's like this actually well rendered drawing of a biker guy with the Confederate flag behind him. I have no idea what the. But I think one of my,
oh,
one
of my, yeah, I think Bad Bob is one of those retellings of the tough guy who, you know, goes to try to put the smack down on some gangly little scrawny Christian. Oh, and
you think so? Kicking sand in his face?
Yeah, and you know, through the power of Christ, not only is not have his ass handed to him, but also converts Bad Bob at the zero hour, because I think then probably is usually the case. What happens with the bad guy in these is the moment they're saved, then God smites them.
Yeah. Well, I think they've re-released Bad Bob for a modern audience, and I think it's now called Breaking Bob.
You're right. Yeah, in fact, Eddie, I do want—I hate to burst your bubble here, but the Uzi, according to Wikipedia, is a family of Israeli open-bolt blowback operated submachine guns
developed by Larry Hama and his cold dead eyes. It says it right there. Can't be wrong.
Apparently, Larry Hama was there at the inception of them, I guess, because Major Uziel Gal of the Israeli military in the 1940s had first designed the Uzi.
See, for me, and I know it's a seminal favorite, and I'm glad that you guys let me hit on this one, but it's so I had a D&D group when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
And we played, and there was four or five of us, and we played, and, you know, my group has gone on. I am the underachiever of my group. My group has gone on to great and wondrous things. A couple members of my group were fairly religious. And one day we were playing, I think it was Second Ed, we were playing in one of our, I'm leaving their names out to protect their anonymity, but one day one of the friends brought the chick track that he was given at church called Dark Dungeons to our group and was like, you've got to see this, guys. You've got to see this. So, like, we all were reading it, and there are lines in this thing, which if you don't know what Dark Dungeons is, it's the tabletop gaming chick tract where, because you play Dungeons and Dragons, it's going to lead you to Satan worship and you're going to hell. That's the TLDR of what Dark Dungeons is. And we were reading it, and there's panels in there where there's this, like, very seductive dungeon master sitting behind a
seductive in what manner?
Have you seen you've seen this chick tract, right?
I have, but honestly, get to, after you've read 100 of these, they all start running together.
So imagine when I say hot witch, you know, that's like sorceress, Frank Frazetta meets
like Charlie Sheen and Being John Malkovich, hot lesbian witches.
Like imagine like an 80s swords and sorcery movie, right? So so way hotter than anybody we'd ever seen play Dungeons and Dragons ever. First of all, red flag number one, right? Like, we would have turned to the devil right now at 13 years old or 14 years old if she was here trying to get us to play D&D.
That would have been it. Not only would she convert you to Satanism, she would also pull you through puberty.
Yeah, we wouldn't have needed Dungeons and Dragons to go to hell. She could have just been here and been like, hey, boys, you want to get on the party bus to hell with me? And we would be like, yes, we'll be right on there.
And I think that much like with Eddie and Evolution, this probably drove a lot of people to D&D.
Right?
But then there's lines in there.
The hot chick, and then they found out, what a ripoff. Jack Chick doesn't know anything about D&D. There are no hot chicks.
And then there's lines. So there's lines in there. The conceit is that, you know, at the end, the one character gets saved and everybody's happy. But there's lines in here like the thief Black Elf didn't find the poison trap and I declare her dead. And then the character playing Black Elf was like, no, not Blackleaf. No, I'm going to die. And then one of the characters is like, Marcy, get out of here. You're dead. You don't exist anymore. Like, what?
Poor Marcy.
And the next panel is
she could have been an NPC.
Right? And then Debbie, the witch is talking to the one that said that to Marcy. It's like, Debbie, your cleric has been raised to the 8th level. I think it's time you learn how to really cast spells. Like, we're reading this, and we're like, what the hell? All we're doing is math. Like, we sit here for 9 hours, you know, on a Sunday, and all we're doing is adding armor classes to Thakos and rolling dice and figuring out areas of effect. Like, when do we learn real magic? Like, if we could learn real magic, we wouldn't have to do all this damn math. We didn't have any graphing calculators. This was like 1989.
All you're doing is, like, drinking a bunch of Mountain Dew and
right. It smells of hours. It smells of like boy testosterone, Mountain Dew, and Domino's pizza. There's like lead. I'm surprised we didn't die of lead poisoning.
Got lead in their system, and you spend the ensuing 17 hours of your weekend moving 14 linear feet in the damn dungeon.
And then my favorite part when Debbie shows up at Blackleaf's house. And wants to see her. Marcy said she wanted to see me tonight, and her mom lets her in. She said, I've been very worried ever since her game character got killed. The next panel, she walks into Marcy's room, and Marcy's hung from the ceiling.
That's Dark Dungeon?
Yes, that's Dark Dungeon. There's like...
Oh my gosh, yeah, I do remember that one.
And it's like, it's my fault Blackleaf died. I can't face life alone, Marcy. And we're all like, what the shit is this?
Her friend has arrived on the scene while her corpse is still shaking.
Yes, I remember that from reading it. I remember thinking, she must have literally just hung herself. She must have heard her friend coming. She must have heard her coming in the front door and said, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it right now.
Yeah, I will show them who's a non-entity now.
The funniest dichotomy of this is that she calls... She calls Debbie. Marcy calls Debbie to come to the house because she wants to see her. Waits till Debbie shows up, hangs herself, and leaves a note that says, I can't face life alone. Bitch, you called Debbie and she came to your house. You're not facing life alone.
I also want to know why Marcy's room had girders in the ceiling.
Right? Load-bearing structures in the ceiling.
Even more importantly, Cole, now that I'm looking at the image again after all these years, why in the world does Marcy have such bad camel toe in this thing?
Oh, no. There's some serious problems there.
I think that says a lot about Jack Chick right there. Yeah.
But then she goes on to confess to Miss Frost, the dungeon master, the hot witch dungeon master, that if she would have left the game, that Marcy would still be alive. And then she gets yelled at for not having her priorities straight. The game is more important than her friend's life. We're like,
I want to be Debbie.
We're like, wait, we have to ride our bikes home at 7. Marcy can hang herself, and your priorities aren't straight. Like, we're playing this game wrong, guys. I think we got the wrong game.
Well, I also like the John Holmes looking preacher.
Oh yeah, that guy's classic.
Because then, according to Acts 19:19, you should gather up all your occult paraphernalia, like rock music, occult books, charms, dark dungeons material. Don't throw them away. Burn them. We'll do that here tonight.
Well, and here's the thing.
I don't think Acts 19:19 acknowledges dark dungeons' existence in the, you know, thousands of years in the future.
Well, this
and also I'm waiting for Henry Jones Sr. to come along. So this just tells me that goose stepping morons like you should read books instead of burning them.
Right, and then jumps on an old German motorcycle
just bitch slaps the old guy and then takes off.
But this chick track led to two amazing things. It led to a lot of things. First of all, this was directly related to the Satanic Panic. This is what freaked all the parents out. that their kids were playing Dungeons and Dragons, and apparently Miss Frost was going to get them to hang themselves because Blackleaf died. Because, you know, as children, we can't think for ourselves because we listen to Guns N' Roses and roll 20-sided dice. But the other thing it did was lead to the seminal Tom Hanks work, Mazes and Monsters.
Oh, yes. Yes, indeed.
Which was a movie based loosely on this chick tract about how Tom Hanks falls into with a group of role players and ends up killing somebody in a culvert somewhere. And then, was that his first work? I think that might have been his first work.
That's the first thing I ever saw him in, like, ever. And, even before Bosom Buddies.
But then more recently... Bosom Buddies? More recently, you can go watch this now. There was a movie that was launched on Kickstarter, got funded and made, that is a shot-for-shot recreation of Dark Dungeon.
I just saw that!
And it is amazing. It is the... Honestly, that's what that movie is what kind of reignited my interest in Jack Chick, because I had kind of forgotten that Jack Chick existed until this, you know, this movie popped up, and I'm like, oh my god, Dark Dungeons, they can't have actually done it. They did it. For real. like a Lifetime movie, and it is the best.
The Witch Chick is hotter in the comic, though, still.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's hard to...
I don't think you could find a human being as hot as the Witch Chick.
Well, you remember in Conan the Destroyer, where there was the Mirror Witch that ends up being the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much what she is in my mind. That's the way she's... But, Cole, so what is yours? That's my favorite. If you... What's yours?
I need to give a little background to my knowledge of Jack Chick tracts. My earliest memories were finding some religious tracts, which were almost certainly Jack Chick tracts, because there was like a little comic book that was in color, and
There were some wannabes out there too.
Yeah, but I remember one where it just had this really dark story about this guy who's condemned to hell, and he cries out to the Lord for salvation, and God drops a like human hair thin line from heaven.
Uh-huh. I remember that one.
The guy to climb.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the rest of the damned were naturally...
Yes! Like,
it's like a damn koi pond, really. Come on. And so the rest of the damned...
They eat pennies.
They're all just swarming up.
Oh, my God. Cole, you're bringing me back to, like, way back when. I had thought about that
story
in years.
I saw the same one, the same part of Oak Cliff. But he's pulling himself up and he's yelling at the rest of the damned, you know, you fools, this can't possibly hold all of us. You're ruining the, you know, he's being very selfish about his one big shot at redemption. And then God just snaps the line and says, you know, it will hold only within the, you know, only as much as your faith.
Yeah.
In which case it's like, well, that was a rule. He's God. You know, if you want to put people off to Christianity, that's a start. But
I remember that, Cole, because where I read that and it freaked me the heck out was in Sunday school. They handed that out to us and I read it and thinking, oh my gosh, this is horrible. Like because as a kid I'm thinking you're like at the point you're like rooting for the guys, like, come on, you can do it, and then snap. And then they all back down. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, is there like no hope in this world?
I know. It's
it
like
literally
when
makes
you're
me feel
when
like,
you're Jack Chick, absolutely not. There is no hope.
Here is the forgiving God that you were promised in Sunday school. It's like, oh, well, yeah, you know.
And that's the thing that bothers me the most about these is, like, they're so hopeless. It's like damned if you do, damned if you don't type thing. It's like you get to the point where you're reading these, you're thinking, okay, it's if you read the Bible, if you study the teachings of Jesus, he says it's not that hard to get to heaven. Jack Chick's way of doing it is hard to do. It's like
Jack Chick is what you call a torturous path.
Exactly. He makes it so difficult that as a kid you're thinking, I can't do this. It's like, okay, if I turn left, then I have to, that's wrong. If I turn right, that's wrong. It's like, help me, Jack, help me.
I know.
But, you know, and I'm not, you know, we aren't purporting any kind of theology on Hey Kids Comics, for God's sake. But, you know, if I was playing devil's advocate, I would think that, okay, so if I was trying to convert people, to anything. I would make it as extreme as possible, hoping that if, in my mind, for my personal belief system, that if they did 1% of what I'm suggesting they do, then by the teachings of the Bible, they're going to get into heaven. So let's give them this ginormous task, and if they can do, if they just try, you know, and achieve 1% of what I'm putting out there, then I've done my job. You know,
well, I think
or totally puts them off altogether,
which is what it did. Yeah, it's
take him individually. If you get the right Jack chick track, and you're kind of on the fence theologically, it could convince you. Well, you know, Jack chick publications here is telling me that God has a plan for me. But if somebody gave you like a stack of them. It would be like watching Blue Velvet. at the end of it all, you feel like someone has beaten you with a baseball bat.
So what you're saying is Jack Chick is to religion what the X-Men in the 90s were to comic books. You pick up Jack one Chick issue and you read it, and you're like, Psylocke's cool. I'm going to read the next one. Then you read the next one, and you're like, I got to quit. I can't do this. Like, I can't follow what's going on. I'm going to hell, apparently. This is going to snap. There's a black cat. Charlie Brown's here. What the hell's happening?
It'd be like if Frank from Blue Velvet was a preacher.
Why hasn't somebody made that? That's a brilliant idea.
You know what we have for communion, neighbor? Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Damn it.
God is going to write you a love letter.
Well,
a bullet from a gun. You got that, neighbor?
As we start to wrap up.
My children. Like, what the hell?
As we start to wrap up the chick tracks, I do want to mention that.
Real quick, because I'll be brief. David Buns, who's been on the show several times, we were hoping to get him on the show because I would love to have discussed these with him, showed me some of these, and he was a deeply spiritual person at the time. But like Eddie, I think he was like, okay, you're doing it all wrong. And so he had what oftentimes we would like be picking things apart, and he showed me Big Daddy. And probably some of the other ones. And
you're talking about the tract, right?
Yeah.
You're talking about the tract, Big Daddy?
He didn't show you Big Daddy. Damn it.
It wasn't Frank from Velvet. Hey, neighbor, here's Big Daddy.
So horrifying.
Wow.
It could have been worse.
Hashtag Dennis Hopper's cock. Okay.
That's not a good. I don't like that hashtag. Can we not use hashtag Dennis Hopper's cock? Can we not do that? That's even too far. I think that might be too far.
Jack is thus decreed. But my favorite, the one that we just had more fun with, and Eddie mentioned a panel from it, was known as The Last Generation. And this is by far the most hopeless, perhaps, of the Jack Trick chick tracks, other than the ones where they talk about.
You said Jack Trick.
Jack Trick checks. Jack Trick checks.
Anyway,
but,
some of these
other than the ones tricks. Where. Other than this comic book that I saw where it talked about all the tortures foisted on people on the saints by the non-Catholic saints, by the Catholics during the Inquisition, was where, you know, they talked about this one woman who was just tortured to death, and hopefully we'll all be as strong when our time comes. I don't remember there being an Inquisition in the lifetimes of about, you know, close to 100 generations. But this was the last generation, though, was the story of how effectively Satan's won. The only thing that's left, I mean, Earth has pretty much been abandoned by God, I guess, because the Church of World Brotherhood now rules supreme, and apparently their church's principal doctrine is hating Jesus, because the family who are central to this, other than their bratty little brown shirt kid who's joined the religious Nazis, are secret Christians. And Grandpa, unfortunately, gets caught in the act, and the little brat son decides, I hate you. I hate your Jesus. You're an insane criminal. I hope the healers kill you. And so he goes and turns his family in for the bounty. And it's just this sad, sad tale. And Grandpa's, you know, tortured death. And they can't get him to see the light and see it that way. But, boy, they have converted that child. He's
going. He's going.
And, you know, this is the end of times, and that's pretty much it. And I love the fact that in researching that, I discovered someone recaptioned the entire thing for the Church of Subgenius in Dallas.
Oh, nice.
Which was, what was it called, like the last Subgenius generation. And I guess everyone's turned against Bob Dobbs.
Oh, God.
So, you know, bless Reverend Ivan Stang and the Church of Subgenius here in Texas, because to perpetrate that in the middle of the Bible Belt is like akin to these secret Christians in this nightmare-fueled world of the healers and the Church of World Brotherhood.
I mean, the one thing that Jack Chick did in all of his Chick tracks at the end was to give you a nice little primer about what to do if you want to get into heaven. You know, and this is one of the things that makes me think that my theory is correct about just, you know, using the shotgun effect, trying to get people's attention, because the footnote on all of these isn't over the top crazy. You know, it's very much what you would hear at church. You know, it's not nuts. It's like, read the Bible, pray, you know, be baptized, tell others.
So
pretty much the tenets of religion. But in my research for the show, I found two parody Chick tracks, and this ties it back to Hey Kids Comics. I found two parody Chick tracks. One is titled Galactus is Coming, and the other one is titled Dark Side. And the Dark Side one in particular is pretty funny. It goes through two girls. One girl is upset because she stole moonshine and she's making bad decisions. And the other girl proceeds to tell her about how her sins can be absolved if she joins the cult of Darkseid and finds the nearest. My favorite panel is, "What do I do?" And you must report to the nearest crime Bible study group and repeat the sacred words, "Darkseid is." And then she says, "Darkseid is? What is he?" So the response is, "Damn it, you're so stupid. Do I have to do a puppet show to make you understand? Darkseid's control is so total that it even transcends interpretation. Darkseid is means he's so powerful, he's so all-controlling that he doesn't need to say what he is." Like, it goes, it's this whole thing. But the best part about these are the bottom, where it gives you the primer for the Dark Side one. Yes! It's just, nobody can save you. Nobody can save you.
You accept Dark Side as your new god, yes or no?
But my favorite is, in the JLU cartoon, I saw Batman dodge the Omega Beams. Can Batman save me? No, the cartoon doesn't count, so shut the fuck up. Like, why does Dark Side wear a miniskirt? It's a kilt! Like, what's up with Kanto? Has he ever done anything useful at all? No, but he's in the Union, so we can't fire him. Like, those are great. Wow. Those are great.
I love the little primer at the end of Galactus. Galactus is real. Number one, Galactus is coming. Number two, he sends heralds to set the sky on fire. Number three, these heralds wield the power cosmic. Number four, Galactus' world ship is huge.
I love the reference to CFF48. Scientists like Reed Richards use science to predict Galactus will return within 5 years. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. I mean,
the Galactus one is actually all created new art. It's not just the Dark Side one. They just took the art and they recaptioned it.
Wow.
Dark Side imagery.
Yeah.
The Galactus one's pretty impressive. Those are hilarious. And I love the Dark Side one. They used the cover for the Great Darkness Saga trade paperback.
Yes.
Showing the Legion all worshipping Dark Side. It's sort of an icon.
Is it sad that as soon as I saw the image of the little girl next to Dark Side, that I thought, oh, yeah, that's little Susie.
Like, see?
I knew exactly what it was.
But that's...
I knew exactly...
But as we, you know, we've got to wrap it up. We've gone pretty long, but
we haven't even touched on the comic books.
Well, do it. Touch on the comic books.
Touch all of them.
Yeah, the tracks are nothing compared to the comic books, because the comic books is where I was at. I own every Jack Chick comic.
Wow.
Ever made.
Okay, so it's kind of like.
to the point that I was actually at Thrift Town one day, just randomly looking for whatever might be there. And in my mind, I had Jack Chick numbers 1 through 17. I mean, it was called the Crusaders, I think, but, you know, they had different names. I had issues 1 through 17. I was like, oh, I got the whole set. And I'm over there perusing Thrift Town, and I see this Jack Chick-like comic book. But it doesn't have the Jack Chick logo at the top, but it's exactly the same. And it says, basically what it was number issue 18. I was like, what the heck? And I pick it up, and I'm thinking, I'm flipping through, and I was like, this is like the unknown Jack Chick comic. Like, in all my research, I didn't even know this existed. Like, it literally was, they published it under a different thing from Jack Chick, but they continued the storyline that he started in his company. But it was mind-boggling, so I picked it up and then realized there's a second copy on the shelf underneath it. So, of course, I bought both copies, and I put the other one on eBay, and I listed it as the Lost Jack Chick Crusader comic. And I thought, just for shits and giggles, I'm going to put the opening bid at $70. That sucker sold.
Wow!
Because if you want to talk about rabid fanboys who are completists,
yeah.
Oh, I guess so. Well, you can't get into it. Much like, you know, I grew up in a Methodist household, and my late father-in-law once said brilliantly that a Methodist can't get to church without a covered dish.
Uh-huh. Here we go.
I think that the reason that sold for so much, what price can you put on salvation? Because you can't get into heaven without a complete set of the Crusaders.
That's true. That's true.
And I tell you what, the scariest one, the one that started it all for me, I mean, because you've got to look at these covers, and I like to point out the fact that all of my copies are the original first run, first edition, first print. They've reprinted them at the Wazoo up until today, but these are like first prints, all of them. But the one that got me was number 4, which was called Exorcists.
Nice.
Oh,
and
lovely.
Oh my gosh. Even today I read it, and it gives me the chilly willies. It is literally like, and they're obviously playing off the Linda Blair craze. It's
right.
About this
boy
in some third world country. He finds a photograph of Satan, or a drawing, or whatever it was. It's been years again. He talks to this, from what I remember, I'm just going off of memory, he talks to this picture as if he's trying to make it his friend, or he's trying to draw wisdom from it. He puts the picture of Satan under his pillow or under his bed, and therefore a spirit creeps in. I mean, Google the image. Just put the Jack Chick Crusaders comic Exorcists, and you'll see them. And this,
wow.
It is like a wild ride. I mean, Linda Blair has nothing on this issue of the Crusaders. It literally scared the hell out of me. Literally.
Okay, it was one of the issues of the Crusaders Double Cross.
Yes.
I've seen the Crusaders.
Oh, no, Broken Cross with the hippie being the hippie
shows
being
like the cross being broken to become a peace symbol.
Well, maybe there was another one, but the one I'm thinking of is Broken Cross, where the hippies being manhandled by the sheriff's deputy out in the woods.
Oh, wow.
It is crazy, crazy stuff.
And Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back.
Right, right. And there's another one called Scarface, where the kid gets mangled.
Yes, I've seen that one.
I'm telling you, I mean, every one of them. And the covers, oh my gosh, the covers of these were like top notch, where the art fell short on the tracks. They went all out for the covers comics. I mean, they're like Frazetta level stuff.
What's so funny is the covers are brilliant, but anywhere there's captioning on the covers.
Oh yeah, the captioning is horrible.
Yeah, it looks like some amateur.
It's like they printed it out on a dot matrix printer and cut it out and slapped it on the cover.
Wow, one of them is called The Force.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'm at the Jack Chick website now just to make sure I'm like.
But okay, let me see if since
hold
I
on.
Actually
hold on, I don't have a complete collection.
Oh no!
They have in the 6 years I have stopped buying these, they've come out with 4 new issues.
Oh no!
I do want to point out that this is going to ruin your chances of ever being an artist on the Crusaders.
Right.
Darn it. Darn it.
Okay, Double Cross was actually one of the titles.
Oh, yeah.
But it wasn't the one the cover is different than I must have been Broken Cross was the cover I was thinking of. And I remember the Double Cross. So let me put this to you, Eddie, real quick. From the standpoint of like the tracks versus the comics as a collector of both.
Uh-huh.
to the comics then, is that like if you took, like, the Tract would be a movie like Westworld or The Exorcist, mm-hmm. and the comics would be like a cable series of the same name, where they can extrapolate because they can tell the same story. And
I'll give it to whoever. And again, there's no creator listings on any of these. Not a single one has artists.
There's a conspiracy theory here that he's writing out.
There is. It is literally from the mind of Jack Chick. But I will give it to them. The comic books were, again, it's been years, but seem to be really, really well written and illustrated and colored and everything.
It's like right up to the lettering, at which point they just went and used a TRS-80 to print out their...
Wow. They had the Whiz Kids hammering it out on their... Yeah, that.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, the comics were actually pretty well done. That's why I think I was set to a completist with those.
Oh man.
I'm all checked out.
We need to wrap this up. We've been going for a while now.
This has been an amazing launch to having an annual Halloween special, by the way.
I don't even know what to say or where to go besides to say that the prevalence of the Chick Track and Jack Chick in our popular culture and in our comic books and our movies and TVs, I don't think that you can quantify it. Like, it's so entrenched that we don't even realize how entrenched it is. I don't think that we'd have a lot of the TV shows and a lot of the comic books that we have now if it wasn't for Jack Chick and his Chick Tracks. So if anything, I think he achieved his goal. As insane as it might have been for him to go about it the way that he did, I think that he achieved his goal. I'm just going to put it out there.
I don't know if there's anything else that can be said other than go in and just check out, regardless of your faith, your religion, your belief system. Check these out as just a piece of Americana that is...
Oh, yeah. They really are. They're kind of right up there with the Saturday Evening Post. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Because you have to experience this. I mean, we can talk all day about it. And until you see some of this stuff and the way it's presented, the one thing Jack Chick did very well in being inspired by a passing mention of, by the way, the commies did it this way.
Yeah.
you can imagine that this is very much like what the propaganda stuff was like.
Yeah.
In the presentation, it's very strong. The most effective propaganda is the type that captures your attention. And mm-hmm. I mean, even I'm now going to convert to dark side because I read that one.
I can't help it.
At the end of the show, I don't know what to think about anything.
Cole checked yes on the last page.
Right.
Yes, I did. It's too late for me. But
Cole, according to that last page, you have to be ready because Granny Goodness gives pop quizzes.
That's right.
Damn it, Granny Goodness, you're so cruel. But that's why we love her.
Oh, my God. Well, why don't we wrap this up and get out of here? Happy Halloween, everybody. Don't sacrifice any black cats. If you look like Charlie, if you have a black cat, keep it away from anybody who looks like Charlie Brown with, as Eddie so eloquently put it, a Jufro.
Is that offensive? Is that considered offensive?
I don't know. I'm going to say yes.
I'm not really certain.
I have heard Jewish friends say, call it
that's their word, Eddie. That's their word. That's not your word.
Okay.
That's not your word, Hispanic Titanic. That's their word.
Yeah, we'll have your Jew friends on to say
your Jew friends. Damn it!
We'll have them on to say Titanic, Hispanic Titanic, and see how you feel about it.
Somehow I'm going to get fellow JCU member Matt Rocks to say Hispanic Titanic on a podcast.
Listen, you're both about to go in free speech timeout.
Trust me.
I'm gonna put you both in free speech timeout if you're not careful. I'm gonna. all right, Eddie, where can we find you these days? If we are a member of a family that might or might not have killed everybody and their family and left their house horribly haunted. Let's say we're that kind of person. Where would we be able to find you?
Yeah, and someone who thinks that 40-some-odd-year-old pictures of their sister wearing, like, the clothes you would wear to JCPenney to have your family portrait done is pedophilia.
It's risque, yes.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah. People are listening who don't listen to Figments are being like, what?
Yeah, yeah, wait till the next episode of Figments when you'll really get the story.
That's right.
So you can find me on the Facebook, the Instagram, the Twitter, and check out the podcast that I do with Cole, the Rancor Pit, and the live broadcast of Rancor Pit Live. And Colleen and I have brought back Figments. So
yeah.
Definitely go to JediCole.com. You can find Figments. You can find Rancor Pit, along with, of course, Hey Gets Comics and Matt Rocks, as aforementioned, Renerding. So, yeah, just I'm there at JediCole.com with everybody else. And let me just say, as we're trying to close this out, I got really disappointed because I found a Jack Chick track called a new one released this year called Donald Trump is the Antichrist.
Oh man.
With Donald Trump screaming on the cover. Turns out it's not an official Jack Chick comic, it's a satire.
Oh
just like one. They went all out to make it look like just like the real deal.
Like I said, how prevalent is it that people are making parodies?
Yeah.
All right, Cole, it's your turn. Wrap us up, will you?
That is some brilliant stuff there. Well, this is, of course, Hey Kids Comics Halloween special coming to you from the Jedi Cole universe at JediCole.com, now powered by Cinelinks at Cinelinks.com. There are getting to be so many places you can find these shows, and we couldn't be happier. Yeah. Very proud to be part of the Cinelinks family. Eddie and I, of course, do our the Rancor Pit here on the Jedi Cole universe, and then over at WatchOnAirLive.com. As you're listening to this, this will be released on the 31st, just a handful of days later on the following Sunday. Was the 6th, is that right?
I think so.
The 6th of November, Eddie and I will be broadcasting or live streaming our first Rancor Pit Live from the Vocal Media Studios in the CBS Radio Building in Dallas, Texas, our very first edition from that new studio. We haven't even set foot in there yet, so we're really thrilled to looking forward to that. So be sure and check that out.
Absolutely. Well, you know, thank you, Eddie, for joining us on this spooky Halloween episode. It's great, man.
Thank you all for having me on this show.
You kind of Boyardee slipped there, but I'll go with it. I like it. I give you an 8 out of 10. I think we did all right by Marcy tonight. Poor Marcy hanging from those rafters.
Most surely, master.
Oh
and
God.
We'll be back in 1 year to a haunt show.
God, I hope we're not back. I hope we're not this as bad. Okay. Say good night, Igor and Dracula Boyardee. I hate you so much. Good night, everybody. Have a safe and wonderful Halloween.